Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We'll start with the second verse because the second verse starts a new topic. Someone said, Pastor, is the Bible the infallible word of God? Absolutely. The Bible is true. You say, but parts of it are 2,000 years old. Parts of it are 4,000 years old. Matter of fact, it has proven itself generation through generation through generation. And somebody that decided to go to school for 20 years isn't going to change that. The Bible stands true. The Word of God stands true, and every man a liar. Well, then, preacher, how did they get the chapters? Well, we're not sure, but we think that they put the printing press, all the print together, and they had to put it in shelving in order to print it, and somebody took it on a horse on a bumpy road and kind of shook it up because the chapters don't quite match up with where they go, but the Bible you can count on as being true. So we'll start with the second verse of chapter 9. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up to the high mountain apart from by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, is it good for us to be here? And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of heaven saying, This is my son, my beloved son, hear him. Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things that they had seen till the Son of Man had raised from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the raising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, Why do the scribes say that Elijah has come first? Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that you bless this message. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts and our minds that we might step closer to you, closer to heaven, closer to who we are in the Spirit, and step outside of the flesh. For that we ask and we pray in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Many of you were out and about last Tuesday, which they called Fat Tuesday, where they had all kinds of donuts and everything out and all kinds of sweet things. And then on Wednesday, you saw people walking around with ashes on their head. And you say, Preacher, what does this mean? What is this Fat Tuesday and this Ash Wednesday? And what is this all about? There's 50 days leading up to when Jesus was crucified. The church all year long talks about the resurrection of Christ and what he does for us and how he helps us and how we can rely upon him and how he meets all of our needs. But there was a time in the church many years ago that was started historically, and it says, but we need to remember what the price was. So this time leading up to Easter, we're going to take these days and we're going to remember. We're going to take you down into the valley that Jesus walked through. And for 6 Sundays, we're going to talk about that valley. We're going to talk about his sacrifice. We're going to talk about his death. We're going to talk about his betrayal. We're going to talk about his trial. We're going to go through the hard parts, the hard times, the valley that Jesus went through so that we can stand on the mountaintop. So eat up on Tuesday. because we're descending on Wednesday. That's how it started. Nothing wrong with that. And then people, during what we call this Lent season, they take a fast. Historically, it was promoted through the Catholic Church, but many of us fast during this time because we want to go down and we want to touch the humanity of Christ and His divinity at the same time. When I was in high school, I had a friend. He was killed in Vietnam. His name was Bill Mershman. During Lent, he was Catholic. And during Lent, he would give up watermelon. I said, Bill, you can't buy a watermelon within 50 miles of here. He said, well, then I won't break my fast. He didn't want to promise God something he couldn't keep. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing to go out and eat a donut on Tuesday. It is not a bad thing to see the dust to dust and ashes to ashes on Wednesday. It's not a bad thing. We don't practice some of those. Well, the donut thing we do. But we don't practice those things. But it doesn't hurt us to practice them. From year to year, we have taken a commitment to give something up during Lent time. Some of you give up chocolate. I remember Emily eats chocolate every day, gave up chocolate a year or two. And it's difficult, but it reminds us of the suffering that Christ went through. Whenever we go into a fast, it reminds us of that. He's fine. I did that every Sunday. We didn't have a nursery. Matter of fact, if you went out the back door, you were outside at the church I grew up in. So you didn't take the kids out, you'd freeze to death in wintertime. You might be a preacher someday. Dad said, you better be a preacher because you can't sit still in church. He said, that's the only way you'll stay in, son. So let me show you what happened. Jesus is about to go to the cross. Jesus is about to go into Jerusalem. But before he goes in and he goes down in that valley, and we all have valleys and mountains in our lives. We have those mountains, the times when you have a baby, the times when you get married, the times when you celebrate, when you get that new job promotion, or you get that big raise, or you get that check that you wasn't expecting. Those are mountains. We also have valleys where we hear about a terminal illness. We lose a loved one, passes. We lose our job. We don't get the promotion that we thought that we deserved. Those are valleys. We all have them. But how do we deal with the valleys? And how do we deal with the valley? Jesus is showing his disciples. He takes Peter, James, and John, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come with me. Well, where are we going? It isn't going to be easy. Well, why are we going down the valley? No, we're going top of the mountain. And when you go up a mountain, I don't know about you guys, but it's easier to go downhill than it is uphill. These men had to put some effort into going where Jesus was going. They looked at it was tiresome. They were put out more than the other disciples. But they followed Jesus and they followed him up the mountain. And if you're going to follow Jesus and you want Jesus with you in the valley, you're going to have to follow him up the mountain. And that mountain is church attendance. That mountain is giving. That mountain is the Word of God. That is what it takes. That is what we are to climb. And it is not easy. You can't lay it aside. If you want God with you in the valley, you got to climb the mountain. Now they're on top of the mountain. Jesus knowing what is ahead. And what do they see? They see Jesus transformed. So many times we read this passage of Scripture and we read right through it. Jesus is transformed and they see him in all of his spirituality. They see him in his divinity. They see him as God, not as man. because his godliness is come into question. But if you went to the mountain with him, when his godliness comes into question around the group that you work with and around the group that you hang with, it ain't going to come into question with you. There was Elijah and Moses standing on the mountain with him. They saw Elijah and Moses. God knew when he was showing Peter, James, and John this, he knew this, that Jesus, when he came down from the mountain and they went through the valley, that they were going to question him about fulfilling the Old Testament. They were going to say that he wasn't a prophet and he was teaching something different from the prophets. So God puts him in the front of all three of their eyes in order to see that he was with the prophets and the prophets were with him and in him and about him. Because that was coming into question by the leaders of the Jews of the day, that he was going against the prophets and teaching something new and something different than what the prophets taught. And God said no. See, it'll come into, historically, the Bible will come into question where you live too. And if you haven't been to the mountain, to the Word of God, and to church, and with the fellowship of the Christians, that's going to come into question in your mind also. Third thing that happened was really amazing. A cloud came around. And light started to shine. And you say, Peter, James, and John standing there, looking at Jesus, so glowing as God. And Elijah and Moses standing on his side. And then you hear a voice from heaven. And the voice from heaven says, "This is my son, hear ye him." Because that was going to come into question too as they went down into the valley. He's not of God. He's against God. He has lifted himself above the prophets. Everything that was going to come into question when he went to the valley, he was showing his disciples, don't question it. Now let me tell you something. You're going to go through your valleys. You're going to lose a job. You're going to lose a loved one. You're going to lose a parent. You're going to lose a child. You're going to lose a brother or sister. You're going to lose something. Your house may burn down. Your new car may get wrecked. You're going to lose something, and you're going to walk through a valley. And until you realize who Jesus is, you will not go through it very well. You will cry at the altar. You will cry in your home, you'll cry yourself to sleep, and you'll say, "Oh God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But if you climb the mountain, if you step through the Word of God and stepped into the Word of God and you studied about who Jesus was and you heard it preached about who Jesus was and you saw the altars filled with people coming to who Jesus is and understanding who Jesus is, you can say, as David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's the kind of valley I want to go through. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. But I realize if I want that comfort as I walk through that valley, I must climb the mountain with Jesus. I must be in His Word. I must be with His people. I must not get offended in the physical, because it's about who I am in the soul and where I stand with Jesus Christ. So we turn our cheek and we go on. And we stand in total unity in the church with Him because we can walk through the valley. Because we've been to the mountain. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that everyone here gets a glimpse of who You are. high and lifted up, and your train filled the temple. And Lord, might your spirit fill this place, that as we go through the valleys, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. We can walk through the valley because we know life is eternal. We can walk through the valley because we know that your spirit is real and it is with us and within us. We can stand firmly, not just because of what we believe, but because of what we have seen. So Lord, help us to climb as we climb that mountain, that we might hear your voice. We might see you as a fulfillment of the scriptures, so that any doubt that is within us is taken away. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.